Good evening. Thank you for your special song tonight. I'm Shimono Kato, missionary to Japan again, and we are so privileged to be here tonight, and we are so, my wife and I were so blessed being in here with you today. So thank you so much for everything and you have done to us today. And also having us to start your mission month and from today. And I'm sure that another missionary is also come this month. And so next week, and you have one missionary, also Dr. Don Sisk here. And actually, he was the missionary to Japan back in the 60s. And actually, my parents and met Dr. Don Sisk when he started his ministry in Japan. That was almost 60 years ago, and I was just born, and I don't remember anything because I was just born. So, but my mom said that, hey, Shimon, you met with Dr. Don Sisk before, and I was so surprised. And so please say hello to him next week. So I'm not be here next week, so please say hello to him. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you so much. Big thank you for your church to keep sending and supporting the missionaries all over the world. Actually, today, my wife and I stand before you as one of the fruit of our mission work from your church and your country have done. After World War II, so many missionaries went to Japan from this country, sharing the gospel. So thanks to them, my parents found Jesus and they got saved. And they got married and I was born. And also my wife also met Jesus through the U.S. missionary who visited her elementary school, which is located very, very countryside. Then she was saved at that time. That was 10 years old. That's one of the reasons why I am so grateful to your church and your countries who have been so obedient to the Lord's command of the Great Commission. I don't know about you, but I assume the most of you here were also led to Jesus by someone else, changed your life dramatically. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen? The fathering of the gospel began 2,000 years ago by Jesus and his disciples who were filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Then it has been multiplied from one generation to the next, then reaching up to us. Now God wants to use you and me as his vessel to share the gospel to the next generations. So tonight, I want to share the scripture with you about what we need to know and what we need to do for furthering the gospel as a witnesses of Jesus Christ. So message title is, God Opens the Doors. God Opens the Doors. The scripture we read was in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 34. I'm not going to read it again. So let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together for a time over this Sunday night. So please give us ears to hear your words and guide and direct us in all that we need to receive your truth. And may the Holy Spirit lead us into your way to glorify you. Lord, may your words bring us the strength and the boldness in our faith to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, I have 3 points with a message over the God opens the doors. Number one, the pursuit of the divine will and the timing. The pursuit of divine will and the timing. Briefly, I just want to explain about the background of the scripture we just read the scripture earlier. So this was a timing Several days after Paul and Silas went to the Philippi, where was the main city of the Macedonia. Actually, Paul had another plan to go to Asia to share the gospel. But he was led by the Spirit not to go there, and by saw the vision to tell go the Macedonia. Then Paul and Silas went to the Philippi. And at over there, they encountered a slave girl with a spirit of divinations, so making a money for her owner through the fortune telling. And Paul and Silas were very much annoyed by her constant following. Then Paul decided and commanded the spirit to leave her in the name of the Jesus Christ. That was good things. Evil spirit left her. But the problem was her owners. So her owner realized that the slave girl didn't do any more the fortune telling for making money. Now they don't get any money from her. So now they realize their profit was gone. Then they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the authorities, and accused them of causing troubles. As a result, Paul and Silas were unjustly thrown into the prison. It was just unjustly. Not only were they imprisoned, but they were also severely beaten beforehand. As verse 22 and 23 tell us, that their bodies were deeply wounded on that day. Deeply wounded. So if we were in these situations, we may see and say, what a bad day for me. What a bad day for us. We came here for spread the gospel, sharing the gospel. Right now, we ended up in the behind bars. Can you imagine what prayers you would have first to the Lord if we were Paul and Silas at that time? What kind of prayers you would have first to the Lord? It might be, Lord, please help me out. We are in the prison unjustly. Please get out of this prison and let us speak the gospel, share the gospel at town. That might be what we want to say. But Paul and Silas were, look at verse 25. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So what kind of the prayer Paul and Silas had at that time, you think? What kind of a prayer? They knew that even in the situation, God had been working on everything behind the scene, so they just prayed and praised God by singing to wait for the next steps. From my perspective view, Paul and Silas could avoid to be beaten and in prison if they cry out to the magistrate to say, I am Roman. We are Romans. Because they had Roman citizenship. As you know, Roman citizenship during that time carried a great weight in the social, in the legal, in the political world of the Roman Empire. So Roman citizens had the right to fair trial, where they could defend themselves against the accusations. They were also protected from the certain brutal punishment such like the scourging or crucifixions. But Paul did not speak up when he was arrested. Did he not know his right? In verse 37, after everything was done, Paul said, "They have beaten us openly and condemned, being Romans, and have cast us into the prison. And now, do they thrust us out privately?" Paul did know his rights as a Roman student. Yet he didn't cry out, "I am a Roman." Why? Why he didn't say that? Paul's actions reveal his faith. As he says in the Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul wasn't seeking his own comfort or convenience, nor did he wait for the perfect moment to avoid suffering. Instead, he was fully committed to the pursuing God's will and the timing to spread the gospel. He knew it was God's hand that led him into the prison, and he trusted in God's divine plan for the next step. Rather than resist or question his circumstances, He embraced them as a part of God's sovereign purpose, faithfully furthering the gospel no matter the cost. So my question to you is this: Do you really pursue God's will and timing first in everything you do? Before your own desires, before your own plans, do you really pursue? So if we fully rely on God to lead us and open the doors, regardless of our circumstances, we will experience his powerful plan unfolding in ways we could never imagine. When we trust in his timing instead of our own, we will find more opportunities to share the gospel and witness his hand at work in our lives. So this is why we must pursue God's divine will and the timing first. His purposes are greater than our own plans. Amen? Number two, the time of divine open doors. The time of divine open doors. My very last secular job was to run the company of the manufacturing the automatic doors. Do you know what the automatic doors? So when you go to the grocery store or the buildings at the entrance door, most of the building and has the automatic doors. That is automatic doors. Open the door automatically. Do you know how automatic door open doors automatically? Do you know how? Yeah, somebody said that. Yeah, sensors. There's a sensor on the top of the door frame, and that sensor could detect someone or something approach to the doorway. That sensor detect that something approach, then send a signal to open the door automatically. So that's a system. We know how to approach and how to open the door automatically, right? We didn't think about anything. We just approach to the doorway, that opens automatically. No one goes to the windows or the in the walls to the bathroom here like, hey, I want to go in. Let me go in. Please open these windows or walls. No one do that. Because we know where's the locations, how we can go in to the buildings. We know that. But for the fathering the gospel, we should know that the God himself opened the door for us. It may be a visible or may not be the visible, because this is talking about the opportunities. We need to use our sensor by the Holy Spirit to see where the door and opportunities is opened by God. Verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. This is literally in a visible and actual door open for the Paul and Silas. And they were suddenly free from the bands and the bars which hold them. So they could run away from this unjustly imprisonment if they want to. But they did not, because their prayer at that night, in verse 25, was not to be free from the prison first, but wait for their God's will and his timing. That's why they stayed there. So they just stay there and wait and see for another door would be opened next by God. And sometimes God opens the door, not only one, but also leads to the next doors to be opened. Then, next door was opened to the Paul by God soon. Verse 27 says, and the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. And Paul said to him in verse 28, do thyself no harm, for we are all here, with a loud voice. The Paul found the second door open and entered immediately by saying that with a loud voice. And the key here is a loud voice, actually. So jailer was almost ready to kill himself. He was very serious about it, to kill himself. If we were Paul next to him to say, don't kill himself. What are you doing? Don't do that. You know, it doesn't work. That's why Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here, with a loud voice. Enough voice to stop him. Can you guess how many minutes Paul had between the second door open and his action to stop the jailer to kill himself? Second door opens and stop him, stop the jailer. How many minutes, you think? Nothing said in the Bible. 20 minutes? 10 minutes? I don't think it might be less than a minute. There was little time between divine open doors and Paul's action at that time. When God opened the door, it's not just for you to walk through, but also for those on the other side to meet you. The door may not remain open for long. Whether the open door is visible or not, when you recognize it by the Spirit, you must act immediately in the face and a step forward. Number three, fathering the gospel with the divine interventions. Fathering the gospel with the divine interventions. So everything happened to this jailer was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, preparing his heart for the salvations. In the verse 30s, jailer cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And his heart was almost ready. And all he needed was to hear the gospel from the Paul and accept it. And how did Paul respond? Immediately and boldly. In the verse 31, Paul declared, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Then in verse 33, we see the fruit of that moment. He and all his family were saved and baptized that very day. What an incredible miracle happened. Amen? Now, let me ask you, do you believe this can still happen today? Entire family are saved by the power of the gospel. If you were here this morning at a Sunday school time, you might hear my wife's testimony. My wife was saved when she was 10 years old. She used to live in the very, very countryside of Japan. No Christianity, no churches, no foreigners. Only Japanese and only local religions. One U.S. missionary, American missionary, came to that location, went to her elementary school, and shared the gospel at the gate of the elementary school. That was the first time my wife heard the gospel. That was the first time my wife saw the American. When she heard the gospel, she realized this is the real God. This is the real word she can trust. And she got saved. But there's no churches around there. And she could not go to the church because she was so young. But before going to the high school, she started praying to get the church near the high school she would go. But at that time, her family and all of her relatives opposed her. They said, no, you cannot go there. You cannot go to the church. You cannot be a Christian. You know, this location is truly for local religions, Buddhism. No one can be Christians from this village. You cannot do that. She was opposed, but everybody surrounded her. You know what? 10 years later, her sister got saved when she heard the gospel. And 3 years later, her father got saved after hearing the gospel. And 3 years ago, her mother got saved when we shared the gospel with her. And the last person was her brother, who was saved 2 years ago. That miracle salvation story of my wife's family did not begin with her. It began with an unknown American missionary who shared a gospel, who was an obedient to the Lord's command of the Great Commission. If he did not show to the elementary school to share the gospel, I'm sure my wife is not here today, and neither me. The one act of the faithfulness led to the salvation of an entire family. If Paul did not stay when the first door opened at the jail, that jailer and the jailer's family were not saved at that time, right? If Paul did not act immediately when the second door opened to say, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here," if he didn't say that at that time, that jailer and must be killed himself. Means his family were not saved at that time. Just one act of the faithfulness led to the salvations of the people. God has a plan for you. Plan for you to meet the people, share the gospel, and see the lives transformed. Just as he opened doors for Paul, he is still opening doors today for you. God never changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his power to save is just as real now as it was in that prison. The question is, what about your part? What about your part for furthering the gospel when God opened the door at his timing? Will you take action to share the gospel? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded to you. And Lord, I am with you even unto the end of the world." Jesus said, even at our part, he will be with us. Everywhere we go, anywhere we go, whenever we go, he will be with us always. What a great promise we have from the Jesus. Amen? Amen. Your role is not a small in God's plan. You are part of something far greater. And he had called you to be faithful when he opened those divine opportunities. So let's commit. So let's commit ourselves to be the ready, faithfully sharing the gospel when God opened the doors at his timing, because his timing is always the best. Lastly, I just want to ask you one more question. If you are not born again or are not sure about your salvation, God is opening the door for you to come to be saved tonight. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He loves you. He would like to have the eternal relationship with you. Jesus is the only way to save you from your sins and eternal death. If you believe in him, your sins, past, present, future, will be forgiven when you repent, and you can receive his salvation and eternal life. If you would like to be saved, now is the time you can receive this. Let's back with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your goodness and the blessing. Lord, you would empower us with your spirit to be bold in the proclamation of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. May our hearts be the burden for the lost. Fill us with a deep love for our neighbors, coworkers, friends, and family who do not know you yet. Help us to see them through your eyes, and grant us opportunity to share your love with them. Lord, ask for your guidance and protection as we step out in the faith. Use us as a vessel to bear much fruit through you. Lord, I pray for the person who are not saved yet or not sure about salvation. Please work on their heart to accept your invitations and the gift of the salvation tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.